Rowena bowed again in the doorway.
I look forward to it, Prince Stephen.
Then she was gone, and Stephen turned back towards Shari.
That was good to see her again. She seems to be doing well.
Yes,
Shari agreed,
and I finally got to meet her.
You used to say her name in your dreams, Stevie.
It was only the fact that they were obviously nightmares that kept you from getting bopped on the nose.
Stephen threw his head back and laughed, crowing,
You should have told her that!
Chapter 29 The next day, just after they had finished eating their morning meal, the innkeeper led a tall, elegantly dressed older woman to their table and bowed.
Your Highnesses, please allow me to present Lady Resala Zelsovan, Lady of Zelsovan, owner of the Zelsovan Winery.
He stepped back as he bowed toward their table. Lady Zelsovan stepped forward and bowed as Stephen and Shari stood to greet her.
I am honored to meet you, Prince Stephen and Princess Charindus. Charl tells me that you and Princess Marina like my wine. I have two cases of assorted wines that I would like to present to you for your service to Caravia. Labawan's priest in this area seized a warehouse full of wine by condemning the poor souls who owned the warehouse.
She paused and shook her head.
I got most of my wine back, but I had known the Feltarstan family for years.
Stephen bowed his head deeply.
If you would, please send that information to Moravat. If those priests aren't already under arrest, they soon will be.
They are, Prince Stephen,
she replied with a vicious grin.
My son is a major in the army, and he led the raid on Lebowan's temple himself. The priest inquisitor who was in charge of that temple got a little banged up during his arrest, but he was alive when he left for trial in Moravat.
Stephen bowed to hide his grin.
That is good to know, Lady Resala. Will you join us?
He asked as he waved toward the table. She shook her head.
Forgive me, Prince Stephen, but I just stopped by to deliver the wine and my thanks in person. I really must be going.
Stephen bowed slightly.
Then accept our thanks for your welcome and your wine, and for the news that Lebowan's followers have been properly dealt with.
The lady bowed deeply, then turned and left the inn. It wasn't long, though, before someone else came to see them. The innkeeper led seven elegantly dressed people toward the royal family, only to be stopped by Master Sergeant Zelhalvis.
That's close enough. State your business.
Stand aside,
the man in the lead commanded. Master Sergeant Zelhalvis reacted to his tone and drew her sword, holding it horizontally in front of her. Behind her, three guardswomen and seven guardsmen followed her lead.
I said, that's close enough.
The man looked confused, then snarled,
You low-born bitch, I'll...
He didn't get to finish his threat. Mariah stepped forward and backhanded him off his feet, then stood over him with the point of her sword at his throat, as he stared up at her from the floor.
I am the Lady of Zelhalvis, Master Sergeant of the Avandian Royal Guard, and Colonel of the Caribbean Royal Guard. You will address me with respect, or feast me in the circle.
The man was swallowing convulsively, and staring in wide-eyed terror at the brightly gleaming length of razor-sharp steel in the woman's hand. He babbled,
I am Mayor Bennett Zelweldon. You can't do this to me.
Mariah looked down at him and asked,
Are you the Lord of Zelweldon?
No.
Then you will address me with respect,
Mariah said in a low, intense tone,
or face the consequences.
The mayor looked past her in desperation, but the glares from the royal family told him he wasn't going to receive any help from that direction. He finally swallowed the last of his fear and indignation, and bowed his head toward the sword.
I offer apologies for my intemperate choice of words, Lady Zelhalvis.
Mariah stepped back and sheathed her sword.
Stand, she commanded.
then watched as he slowly climbed to his feet. Turning away, she bowed.
"Prince Stephen, Mayor Zelweldan desires an audience."
Stephen nodded.
"Allo the Lord Mayor and his council through, Master Sergeant Zelhalvis."
Mariah bowed, then stepped aside to allow the men and women to pass. But a subtle hand signal caused a guardsman to join on each of them, while Mariah and her women moved to stand directly behind Stephen and Shari. The Lord Mayor glanced around, then looked at Stephen.
"Prince Stephen, this is intolerable."
"What is that, Mayor Zelweldan?"
Shari asked.
"Your guards, Princess Charindis,"
he answered.
"They act as if we're a threat to you. I'll not be treated like this in my own town."
Stephen looked at him and shrugged. "The door is right behind you." The Lord Mayor blinked in surprise.
What?
Stephen rose to his feet slowly.
"Watch your manners with me, or I'll let Lady Zelhalvis take you out and remind you who you are addressing."
The mayor looked even more confused.
"Your Highness?"
"Exactly,"
Stephen interrupted. The mayor looked confused for a moment, then realized what he'd done and bowed deeply.
"I beg your forgiveness, Your Highness, for my lack of deference. I am somewhat shaken by your guard's attack."
"Lady Zelhalvis was acting per her orders, not attacking you. It would be in your best interest to remember that the royal guards only answer to the royal family. As for your insult to her, it would also be good for you to know that the Zelhalvis family is in the Evandian royal line. True, she's about 13th in line to the throne, but she is in line."
The mayor swallowed hard, then turned and bowed to Mariah, before turning back towards Stephen again and bowing.
"Prince Stephen, perhaps it would be best for us to leave. I seem to have made a bad first impression. Just let me say that we are honored by your visit and offer our assistance in anything you might need."
He bowed deeply again, as did the councillors beside him. Stephen nodded.
"Very well, Mayor Zelweldan. You and your councillors may go."
He made a motion toward the door, and the councillors didn't need any further prompting. Mariah followed him with her eyes, but didn't say anything until they were gone. Looking at Stephen, she bowed.
"Sorry about that, Prince Stephen, but his tone and posture made me think a show of strength was called for."
Stephen nodded.
"Probably right." He seemed a little full of himself. "I'd like to go back to the caravansary and browse some more. Shari?"
"Absolutely,"
she replied with a wide smile. It took less than a span for them to get ready, and soon they were walking through the caravans, looking but seldom buying, and ended up at the Zelvandar caravan. Ralina saw them coming and bowed deeply.
"Prince Stephen, Princess Charindis, welcome to my caravan. I don't think you know anyone except Endar."
Stephen smiled deeply.
"I remember Endar and his cooking very fondly, Ralina.
Did you come up through Evandia?"
"Yes, but we've been trading with House Selberal over there. They came down from Renedia."
Shari followed the direction of Ralina's gaze and nudged Stephen. Looking back at Ralina, she said,
"We'll be back,"
and started walking, ignoring Stephen's laugh. The Zelberal caravan was crowded, but that didn't bother Shari or Stephen. They browsed the wagons, admiring objects and sometimes buying. Stephen, of course, did most of the bargaining. After four spans, Shari called a laughing halt to their shopping.
"We'll need another wagon if we keep this up."
Stephen laughed in return.
"We can buy one if we have to,"
he replied. They returned to the Zelvandar caravan in a fine mood. It didn't last. Senior Sergeant Kelharvan, the leader of Ralina's guards, was facing off against the five Kelporten guards.
"And I see you are in my territory. You pay coin, or you pay blood."
Stephen barked,
"Royal guards, seize them!"
And 20 of his guardsmen rushed forward, None of them had to be told who to seize. The five Kelportans suddenly found themselves facing 31 armed, armored, and very annoyed opponents who were not going to back down. All five drew their swords, but Stavin's voice froze everyone in their tracks.
"Sheathe your swords, or I'll have you executed for attacking the royal family."
All five of the men looked his way, and the leader snarled,
"You little,"
as he stepped towards Stavin. It was his last mistake. Ralina Kelvandar's sword darted into the joint between his breast and back plates, spitting his heart and lungs from the side. The four remaining men saw their leader die and held their hands out, letting their swords fall to the ground. Shari looked at Ralina and bowed.
"Well done, Sergeant Kelvandar. Guardsmen, bind those four. We'll deliver them to the Mir for disposal."
"You can't do that,"
one of the men shouted.
"Mayor Zelweldon will never—"
"He will if he values his own hide above yours,"
Shari snapped back.
"When King Taravan finds out you threatened us, and especially our children, the Kelportan guards will be as unwelcome here as you are in Evandia."
All four of the survivors were shaking their heads, trying to deny Shari's assertion, but everyone knew it was true. Stavin looked at Master Sergeant Zelhalvis and nodded. She bowed, then ordered,
"Sergeant Zelfordan, take four men and deliver these fools to the mayor, along with Prince Stavin's complaint against them. Make sure he understands exactly what happened here."
Sergeant Zelfordan bowed and said,
"Yes, Master Sergeant,"
then pointed at the four closest guardsmen and led off. The guardsmen and their prisoners followed in his wake. The shrilling of whistles heralded the arrival of the city guards, moments too late.
"Halt where you are," the leader shouted. "Halt in the name of the king."
Everyone just stood where they were and waited. The city guardsmen strode up to the scene and demanded,
"Who murdered this man?"
as he pointed toward the body. Master Sergeant Zelhalvis replied,
"He wasn't murdered. He was killed for threatening Prince Stephen."
"Ha! What would Prince Stephen be doing at the caravansary?"
Stephen and Shari stepped forward carrying the twins.
Shari said, "We were shopping and visiting old friends,"
as she smiled at Ralina.
"That ass and his accomplices accosted us yesterday, and today we found them accosting our friends, demanding that they pay for passage through their territory. Now take that trash to the mayor without complaint."
The city guardsmen exchanged glances. Then the leader cautiously asked,
"Who are you, lady?"
Shari drew herself up to her full height and replied,
"I am Princess Sharindis Aurelian Salis Neaniston Zelandral of Evandia, formerly Queen Sharindis of Caravia."
The men looked stunned for a moment, then went to their knees.
"Your forgiveness, Your Highness. We will tend to this matter immediately."
When Shari nodded, they stood and gathered up the body, then hurried away. Shari turned towards Stavin and sighed.
"I've had enough of this town. Let's go home."
Chapter 30 The royal party left early the next morning, with the Zelvandar caravan on their heels. They travelled together for 3 days until the road that led into Evandia was reached. Then they parted company, waving all the while. It took just 1 day to reach the border crossing. Captain Zel Corval, with Stavin's permission, didn't cross into Evandia. He bowed deeply to Stavin as he said his farewell.
"Warmaster Zelandral, it has been an honor and a pleasure to serve under your command."
Stavin bowed his head.
"I appreciate your assistance, Captain. Please deliver this letter to Lord General Kel Eshin when you get home."
With that, Captain Zel Corval led his troopers back toward the south, to Fort Kel Justat and their homes. Stavin crossed into Evandia once again, and felt as if a weight had been lifted from his shoulders. They stayed at the same inn that they had stayed in on their way down from Kel Cavan. and the innkeeper was beside himself, seeing that the royal family was properly taken care of. It took 13 additional days to reach Twin Bridges, and Stephen felt a familiar tightness in his throat when he saw Eastbridge in the distance. They were home at last. Shari was clearing her throat and wiping her eyes as well.
"It's so good to be home," she whispered. "So good to be home."
The people of Eastbridge saw them coming, and the word spread like wildfire. Stephen and his family were back. The road was soon lined with people from every clan, craning their necks to see the hero who'd given up the power and wealth of the Caravian crown so he could come home to them. The procession made it to the palace at long last, and they dismissed the royal guards, all except Karvik. The children were so tired after all the excitement that even Carlin had to be carried, and Karvik picked him up while Shari and Stephen carried the girls. No one made any move to approach them until they reached their suite. King Kaelin was waiting for them, but held his peace until the children were in bed. Stephen and Shari found Kaelin, Mark, and Marina waiting for them when they emerged from their suite. King Kaelin spoke first, softly asking,
"Do you have any idea how much trouble you've caused?"
Stephen glanced at Shari, then replied,
"No, Your Majesty."
"Stephen," Marina said in a low tone, "you caused a crisis of the monarchy. When you became King of Caravia, you were still in line for the Avandian crown. If something had happened..."
"The council is in an uproar still,"
Kaelin interrupted.
"Several of them are demanding that I disinherit you, since Terry has made you a scion of Zeldavin and placed you in line behind Ellie for the Caravian crown."
"He's ahead of Ellie right now,"
Marina pointed out in a sour tone. Turning towards Stephen, she continued,
"Until she turns 20, you are Crown Prince of Caravia."
"It wasn't my fault,"
Stephen almost cried.
"King Taravan was too badly hurt, and Ellie wasn't old enough."
Now Kaelin grinned.
"I know," he replied in a humorous tone. "Terry sent me a full report on what was done and why, but tomorrow you are both going to have to renew your oaths to Evandia. I can't force you to renounce your status in Caravia, and destabilizing the Caravian monarchy wouldn't do any of us any good. But I suggest you pray to Lady Sarin and the gods above that Ellie and Terry both have long lives."
Stephen and Shari were both looking uncertain, and Kaelin finally relented.
"All things considered, sending you to Caravia when I did was probably a stroke of good fortune for the entire continent. No one else could or would have done what you did, and we'd be facing Lebowan's fanatics along our entire border if you hadn't."
Kaelin turned and walked in a circle around them.
"When we found out what had happened, I had a proclamation circulated reminding Lebowan's priests and followers that Lady Sarin's worship is the official religion of Evandia, and warning them that I will be much harsher in my handling of them if they try something here. It's my understanding that the High Priest was already planning on expanding his power base with Zeldravel on the Caravian throne."
Now Kaelin's expression turned nasty.
"He took passage on a ship bound for Cornadia right after the word came that you had executed Zeldravel."
Marina was smiling much more serenely.
"It has also resulted in Lebowan's priests losing a lot of followers. There aren't many people who want to be associated with a religion that is openly opposed by the king."
Stephen nodded and looked at Shari.
"It's a good thing we gave it back."
"Indeed it is,"
Kaelin agreed.
"Dealing with my younger cousin as King of Caravia was bad enough when he ascended to the throne. Dealing with my son, that would have been a real mess."
Stephen grinned and said,
"I would have let you win an occasional agreement, Dad. After all, I have much more experience bargaining than you do."
Marina broke out laughing,
pointing at the perplexed expression on her father's face.
"He's got a point, Daddy."
The entire court was present the next morning, when Stephen and Shari led the children before the king. They stood together, with Carlin in the middle and the twins next to their parents.
"King Keelan,"
Stephen said in a strong, clear voice.
"Here before the collected chosen of Evandia, we swear our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honour to Evandia and the Zelandral dynasty."
King Kaelin stood, and Princess Marina stood at his side. Prince Markle stood at Marina's right, just behind her shoulder.
The king replied, "Stephen, Charindis, Carlin, Saren, and Maren Zelandral, we accept your fealty and oath to Evandia and the Zelandral dynasty."
Then he sat, and the children scrambled up the dais to climb into his lap. This concludes The Caravian Conflict by Lauren K. Jones. Narrated by Anthony Ferguson. Copyright 2017 by Lauren K. Jones. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with Lauren K. Jones and was produced in the year 2018 by Tantor Media Incorporated, a division of Recorded Books, which holds the copyright thereto. Please visit Tantor.com for more information on our growing library of unabridged audiobooks.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.